Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you have heard and seen. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is he who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Why then did you go out? To see a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, those who wear soft raiment are in kings' houses. Why then did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before you, who shall prepare your way.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptizer. Yet he is least in the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I invite the children to come forward if they would like for the children's message. Good morning, everybody. How are you all this morning?
Good.
Staying warm? Yeah. All right, so we're getting closer and closer to Christmas. You've got what, one more week of school left? Yeah, and then you get Christmas holidays. What are you most excited for? Presents, yeah, right? I think I can get behind that too, presents, yeah? So we have today a weird reading from Matthew about Jesus and John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was out in the wilderness getting everybody excited about Jesus. And then John gets arrested and goes away, and he's left wondering. John had been excited for Jesus to come, and it wasn't what John expected. And so he asked, he sends his disciples to go ask, "Are you the one we've been waiting for?" And I think that's an okay thing to ask. John had been all excited and ready, and then Jesus doesn't quite do what John expects him to do. What happens for us when we get a present and it's not what we were expecting? We say thank you. Yeah, we unwrap it, we smile. It's still a little weird, right? So you were expecting something and it's not quite what you got. So we can feel like John was feeling. He was expecting Jesus to do one thing, and Jesus didn't quite meet those expectations. And so he sends his disciples to ask about it. And Jesus says, "Don't worry. What do you see happening? People are being healed. I'm preaching. I'm serving. I'm doing what God has sent me to do." As we get ready for Christmas, we have lots of expectations. As we pray, we think about what we want God to do for us. And sometimes it's a little bit different than how we imagined it. But we still keep following. We still keep following what Jesus taught us to do, to love one another, to help those we meet, and to take care of all those people in our lives who love us. All right, so 2 weeks to Christmas, contain the excitement, it'll be here soon. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for loving us, for sending Jesus to show us how to love everyone we meet. Sometimes it surprises us. Sometimes it's what we expect. But we know that you always love us and always call us to love. Amen. All right, it's good to see y'all. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of Jesus, for whom we wait. Amen. I love our Old Testament reading this morning, Isaiah 35. In the past couple of years, it has found a special place for me as one of hope, as one of celebrating what God does for us, which sometimes is weird and unexpected. It is a psalm of healing. And there is one particular line that has stirred up my imagination and one that I have found hope in the last couple of years. And it was a bit of rediscovery for me. Back when I was in seminary, Isaiah 35 was one of the prophetic passages that we looked at in great detail. And so I have notes in pencil scrawled in the margins of my Bible. And verse 4, 3 and 4, there's a line that says, "Say to those who are of fearful heart," which is the way we moderns have translated it. But as I have shared with the Sunday school class and our deanery that met this week, in the margins of my Bible, it says, "Say to the ones whose hearts are racing." Say to the ones whose hearts are racing. Which brings up a whole difference mindset for me, not just a fearful heart, which has a pretty specific connotation, but say to the ones whose hearts are racing, which opens up the possibilities. Our hearts can be racing for a many number of things, lots of which aren't negative at all. Expectation, the birth of a child, which was very much on my mind a year ago at this point. Love. These things make our hearts race, an expectation for change, the hope for a new horizon. And I think that verse captures more than any our Advent journey. Say to the ones whose hearts are racing. And friends, during this season, during this time of year, our hearts are very much racing for a number of reasons. You pull up your phone, flip through your calendar. Think about all the things that you've got to do this afternoon. That's enough for a racing heart, right? There's always another gathering, another party, another present, another thing to do during the season of Christmas and New Year's. And by the way, 2023 is 3 weeks away. It's enough to make anyone's heart race. It also captures our story, which is a weird one to have in Advent. The story of John in prison, after his preaching and prophetic movement, Jesus arrived on the scene. This is later on in Jesus' ministry. It's a bit of a callback. John's heart is racing in prison, as anyone in prison's heart would race. But he's wondering, is Jesus the one? All he's getting are bits and pieces, rumors of information that filter in about this Jesus whom he baptized, the one he prepared the way for. His understanding of God is wrapped up in Jesus as God's anointed. And so John wonders, are you the one? Or should we wait for another? Are you the one? And that's a very human question. I think we wrestle with that on some level as people in our relationship with God. Are you the one, or should we wait for another? We get cultivated and cultured to have expectations of who God is and what God will do, and that's just part of being a human. And when things don't happen according to that plan or that projection, we wonder, are you there? Are you listening? Or should I wait for another? The one we prepare for during this season, the one whose birth we will celebrate in 2 short weeks, is he the one? Or should we wait for another? Jesus' disciples, the folks that Paul wrote to, they were all expecting Jesus to show up immediately. And here we are 2,000 years later. Are you the one, or should we wait for another? We've been waiting a long time. And Jesus dives right into that. Jesus understands John's racing heart. And he says to John's disciples, go and tell him what you see. Go and tell him what you hear. What are you experiencing in the world around you? And then we get a little bit of a riff on Isaiah, which Jesus is fulfilling in his ministry. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. The poor have good news preached to them. Go and tell John that that's what's happening. It may not be in the way John expected, but this is the promise that God made. This was the hope of Isaiah. This was the way God intended things to be. If we go back into that reading from Isaiah, it's almost word for word. And Isaiah was writing to a people in exile. They had a lot to hope for. They had a lot to have their hearts race about. Being away from their homeland for generations, being separated from family, the difficulty of being a people in captivity, surrounded by everything that the world had to offer at that time and yet not being able to access it. And to them, Isaiah writes, this is what God has promised, a way in the wilderness, something unexpected, something that maybe you didn't see coming. And it shall be a desert transformed, life flourishing. God says to Isaiah, say to those who are of fearful heart, say to those whose hearts are racing, this is what I am going to do. There will be healing and restoration. There will be a way forward. The world will change. That's the promise. And then the people had to come out of exile. They had to hear the promise and then act upon it. They had to walk that way themselves. They had to live into the hope that the prophet proclaimed. And John, who is in prison, can't live into that hope generations later. But he can trust that that's what God is doing. Confirm that a new way is being made, that there is healing and wholeness and restoration, that what the prophets had spoken about is coming true in this Jesus, in God's anointed. Friends in Christ, there is a way forward for us. Regardless of what the world would say, regardless of how it seems to be spinning, it's been a pretty difficult stretch for a long while now. And I think we're all holding on to a bit of trauma and tension that we're still learning to understand. It's not just COVID, it's just the way the world has been the last couple of years. And it's going to take some time to work through that. And we've had expectations of how God would respond and how God would show up. But the word this morning is, even if it wasn't what we were expecting, even if it's weird or surprising, God is still present. There is still a way forward. What do you also see and hear going on in the world? Not just what the 24/7 news cycle will tell you, not just what the negativity that seeps into us will make you feel, but what else do you see going on in the world? There are acts of kindness and goodness. There are moments of restoration and healing. There are bits of hope and light. And again, it may not be what we expected, but it's still God showing up. It's God fulfilling God's promises to us. And so wherever you are this morning, in that moment of your racing heart, whatever expectations you bring to the table during this season, which has a boatload of expectations, God is still here. God is still present. There is a way through the wilderness. And then out of the blue, it's surprising. Flowers where there was sand. We were talking this morning in Bible study about if you've ever been in a desert during springtime or after a rain, and where it seemed like there was nothing, there is life and life abundant. I was out in Big Bend, which is a huge place in West Texas, which is full of life and it's also full of nothing. I was there a couple of years ago in April, and we've got blue bonnets in Texas. And normally blue bonnets in Texas are about 6 to 8 inches. The blue bonnets in April in springtime in Big Bend are 4 feet tall. They are weird and surprising, and they smell amazing. And I always go back to that moment because it was so unexpected to be driving through one of the most barren places that I would have ever expected, and yet here is a 4 foot tall bluebonnet. Flowers bloom in the desert, only hope can come from that. That's the word of the prophet Isaiah to us today. That's the confirmation that Jesus gives to John while he sits in a prison cell full of anxiety. It's the word of hope that draws us to gather around a manger year after year after year. Because God shows up. Because God continues to love. God continues to teach us how to love. And then we ourselves become that weird, surprising moment for somebody else. We're like a 4 foot tall bluebonnet in the middle of the desert. Because of the love of God, we show up and we are present. And maybe we give something financially, or maybe we meet somebody's needs who are hungry, or maybe we show up in the moment when the family is in crisis and there's no word of hope in the house, and we show up with that word of hope. And God works through us. There is hope. The sun will shine again. I know it hasn't shone in about a week here in Nashville, but it will come back, maybe this afternoon, maybe tomorrow. We'll gather in 2 weeks and we'll celebrate that baby in the manger. And we'll continue to proclaim this hope in our world. Every day, always. Amen. So let's sing a song of hope. Let us stand and join together. Hymn 242, Awake, Awake, and Greet the New Morn. Let us stand and sing together.